tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with our technical tabby here at the Community Cats Podcast, Kristen Petrie. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I feel like we're on our regular weekly meeting call.
Well, we are. Maybe we'll call this like a behind the scenes at the Community Cats Podcast. And so we're here. It's fall in 2024, and we've had a pretty exciting past to 2024. You know, we're well into our 500s of our episodes. We've had lots of events, TNR certification workshops, conferences, adventures with me and without me. Kristen, you've had many adventures at the podcast. So I'm just curious, you know, looking back on the past year, what have been the highlights for you?
There have been a lot of highlights. I've gotten to see a little bit more of the country this year. I got to go to Arkansas, which, you know, not no offense to Arkansas, but I wasn't super excited about because I didn't think there was much going on in Arkansas. It turns out that was one of the most fascinating conferences that I have been to because it was a lot of animal control officers. You know, when we started out, just for the listeners' benefit, Stacey and I met at the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society way, way back in the very early 2000s. And I had worked in that hospital before that. And our relationship with the animal control officers was a little bit different. They are really fighting now to change that dog catcher reputation that they have. And it was a really enlightening conference to hear the kind of things they deal with and the kind of things they're doing to change that in terms of, you know, being proactive. A lot of it is dog related, though, and not as much cats. There was a lot of concern about the cats, though, and everybody wanted to start a TNR program. So I was really excited to be there to preach the good word on TNR. Besides that, we get to visit the Best Friends Pet Resource Center out there, which is just absolutely phenomenal. It's huge. It's modern. It's very much like a community center. And, you know, there's a lot of places that say, oh, we're a community center for the community to come in. They actually had people hiking in from it's surrounded by woods. So people were hiking in and checking it out. And it was really pretty cool to see. And people were genuinely like working there and, you know, hanging out with the cats. And they had a lot of opportunities for people and animals to interact that wasn't necessarily adoption, which I think is an interesting thing for socialization of animals and for the community at large. We've also had a lot of conversation about access to care in just about every conference we've been to. We've been to Texas. We were in Rhode Island for New England Fed. And there was a lot of conversation about access to care. This seems to be on the top of everybody's mind, which, of course, has been the top of our mind since we started this podcast. And I know it's something that's near and dear to your heart. So to hear so many conversations and so many interesting things being tried in terms of getting care to people that may not have access to it for either financial reasons or location reasons, or, you know, there just aren't enough vets or what have you. There's a lot of interesting things going on. And I don't know if that's any particular part of the country specific. It's just everywhere. Everybody's working on something phenomenal. So it was really excellent to see.
So I'm going to actually jump in and jump over to that topic. You traveled to Pennsylvania. And you were able to watch Dr. Becky and her team do spay-neuter clinics, teach high-quality, high-volume spay-neuter. And the reason we had Kristen go over there, because it wasn't for a conference, it wasn't for anything, but it was for Kristen to be able to document and learn what it's like to create this initiative and to be able to create a spay-neuter clinic. And you can do it with very low money, or you can do a fancy clinic. And Dr. Becky has pretty much done it all, from very grassrootsy feeling organization to expanding to a larger organization. And our theme for 2025 is called Do It Yourself, DIY, because if you are a trap, neuter, return organization in a community and you're not getting access to enough spay, neuter appointments to be able to be impactful in the number of cats in the community, there's no way you're going to be able to be successful without that access to the appropriate number of appointments. And so I wanted to send Kristen, and Kristen was eager to go and watch.
Oh, absolutely.
These clinics, because I think we're going to have to start creating our own capacity. We're going to have to start building our own models in our community as TNR groups and head up these initiatives rather than saying we need to wait for someone else to create a clinic. There just aren't clinics here, so we can't do anything. But the community is going to yell at us because we aren't able to do anything. And so in 2025, we are going to be helping support creating the tools that we need in order to be able to get more cats spayed and neutered out there. Kristen, tell us what it was like at Frankie's Friends.
Oh, Frankie's Friends was very cool. First of all, I am like a huge Dr. Morrow fan. You did an interview with her, and if listeners haven't heard that before, go back and listen to it. I'll put the episode number in the show notes. She is inspiring because she is very much embodies that do it yourself. You know, she saw a need and started to fill it, and in some really incredibly creative ways, and, you know, took a bit of a risk for herself, but has really come out on top and is making a huge difference. The wet labs were amazing because I feel like a lot of the time we need to convince vets to learn to do high quality, high volume spay neuter and to understand the benefits of it. You know, a lot of times you learn how to do something and then you just keep doing that thing forever and ever and it's fine. But there's a better way to do this. And Dr. Morrow was really taking the lead on that. There was a number of vets there learning these new techniques. The first day was a classroom day. We learned all kinds of stuff. I even got to try tying, I think, a Morton's knot was maybe what it was called. I am not a vet and I'm not tying any knots in any animals anytime soon, apparently. At least not ones that aren't stuffed. But we did that. And then the next day was a surgery day. So the vets took responsibility for cats who were coming in, but it was very cat specific. It was not dogs. Came in for a clinic day. It was one of the most amazing things to see all these vets who, you know, knew how to do a spay, but they learned to do it in a different way. And they went from having great big long incisions to having little teeny tiny incisions. And you could tell the second they got it, then they started using the spay hooks and things. They were excited and it was infectious. Like it was very hard not to be excited. And that's another thing that Dr. Morrow is great at, is really celebrating those wins and reinforcing the veterinarian's confidence. And it was a great bonding experience for all of them too. They seemed to get along better. They bonded and it was a lot of fun. And to say that about a clinic, because sometimes, you know, you do a clinic and they are tiring. You're getting in there early in the morning, you start and it's a lot of work, you know, to get to the end of a day and be like, oh, that was fun, is kind of a big deal. So it was great. We'll have some pictures of that in the Instagram. It was really fun to watch. And it's nice to see that the United Spay Alliance is also running wet labs. So there's a lot of opportunities for veterinarians to learn this new technique that allows them to do a lot more spays a lot more quickly. And while that seems like it might just be a clinic thing for feral cats, it's really not. You know, you can maximize surgery time in a private practice by learning high quality, high volume spay neuter as well, and actually become more of a part of the community too, because you can work in some TNR stuff.
Yeah. And Dr. Morrow is just wonderful. If you want to send your technicians, she will do a whole team training. So it's not just the veterinarian we know to run a good clinic. It's not just the veterinarian. There's so much support staff that goes along with it. And she is just very warm, very inviting. I bet you, even if you had questions about like, hey, could I start this in my town? If you reached out to her, I bet you she would respond and really help provide you with information on how to start a clinic in your own town. And yes, at the end of the day, you have to have a veterinarian in order to get your cat spayed or neutered. But if you can make the job super easy and super simple for that veterinarian and no headache and just say, hey, show up and you're going to do surgery for, you know, 5 or 6 hours, I think that a veterinarian would be much more likely to join that type of initiative versus one that's like, well, you know, who's bringing the gloves, or, you know, trying to figure out something that's a little bit less organized. So I'd, you know, highly recommend folks checking out Frankie's Friends. We'll have the links in the show notes. We may have a blog up about that. We may have some pictures up about that at that point in time. So some supporting stories, because we really want to showcase the work that Frankie's Friends is doing. And if you are a veterinarian that is interested in going out there, they have reciprocity. So you don't have to get relicensed in the state. So that is also really helpful. You can practice as a veterinarian in the state of Pennsylvania for 10 days without getting a new license to practice in that state. So that makes the training really even better and perfect. So then we also had some excitement in July of this year, and we got involved in doing a trap, neuter, return project for a group of cats, 27 cats in a barn in Vermont down the road from me. And I talked Kristen into coming up on a field trip. I said, how about a field trip? She came and assisted and really made this project work. It was a dairy barn, and they ended up trapping 27 cats. Very collaborative, multiple people involved in it. The folks at the barn had no trapping experience beforehand, but they did their homework. They became TNR certified. They watched the webinars. They learned about drop traps. They got all the cool tools involved. I helped with doing some of the logistics of things. But Kristen, you were there through the whole trapping weekend. What was it like trapping 27 cats at a dairy barn in Vermont?
It was fantastic. The views were amazing. Can't really beat that. No, it was a good time. It was interesting to see the logistics and how they work. I've to date, you know, I participated in some TNR clinics, but as far as trapping, I usually only trap onesies, twosies, or missing cats or that sort of thing. To get in there and really get our hands in to such a large number of cats, I went into it thinking, well, we might get all of them. We'll see. We got all of them, which was amazing. I have to give a big shout out to Maymay, who, and what organization is she with, Stacey?
She is with the Rutland Humane Society.
Yes. She brought all of her traps and all of her expertise, and she is one of those very experienced trapping ladies. So she was out there starting to coordinate with Dave, the barn manager, who was absolutely fantastic and very into this project, along with the barn owner's grandson. I was very involved, but you know what? You think that's going to be a pain in the neck? And totally not. He knew where all the cats were, which is fantastic. So if you got a kid hanging around, to ask them some questions, because they know the best place to put the traps. We did trap all 28. A lot of the logistics came into transport because we were going from Vermont down to Methuen in Massachusetts with the cats, because that is the clinic that had the most capacity for us. So we could bring in all 28. So we had to coordinate with the MSPCA as well as the clinic itself, which is run by the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society, to get this project done. So we took a lot of people, a lot of moving parts, but with Stacey as the mastermind behind it, that made it, of course, a little bit easier. She knows how to do this. But it was fantastic. And if you are in that theme of DIY and you're looking to do something like this, don't hesitate to try it, and don't hesitate to reach out to other organizations, because they are oftentimes more than willing to help with resources and with their staff or volunteers or, you know, whomever. You know, we were able to borrow a van and drive it all the way to Vermont and then all the way back and all the way back again and then back. I spent a lot of time in the car that weekend, but it was fun. And it's something that I'm hoping that we do some more mentoring in the future, because mass trapping, it's a tricky thing to do, because you do have to get 100% of the cats to really make that difference, you know, and it also helps to coordinate with the owners of the property, because they're going to be your eyes on the ground. And when new cats come in, they're going to be able to get them fixed if you have taught them how to do this. So I think that making it a collaborative process, and there's people skills involved. You have to be friendly. You have to be good at giving directions. I think they call them soft skills, something like that. Haven't had to work with an HR department in years, so don't know all the technical words, but those sorts of skills are really important to develop to be able to do this work. And I know that everybody says, like, oh, I'm a cat person. I'm not a people person. Well, you know, if you want to be a cat person, you got to try to be a people person too. But I think you'll probably find that it's more exciting than you think to get to know these people, because they do care and they do want to make a change. So that's incredibly heartening. And they sent me home with an amazing cheese. So. I will trap in your dairy barn anytime.
I would also just say that I think the desire to get it all done in one weekend was a goal initially.
Yes.
In the very beginning, that was our goal. What do we need to do in order to get them all done at one time? And then you feel extremely accomplished by achieving that goal. And it's not something you can start on the Thursday before a Sunday clinic. We spent 30 days planning for this ahead of time. So it's one of those things where we pretty much ran through different scenarios. You know, what happens if this happens? And obviously we were blessed because we had wonderful weather. It was in July, but it was right after the Vermont flooding had come. And so there are plenty of scenarios that can totally destroy a plan. And all the stars were aligned. Luckily, they were also in sort of a mid-cycle. So there weren't moms with little teeny, teeny babies that we were that particularly worried about. You know, the desire was to bring the cats back and return them as fast as possible, just in case there were some lactating moms out there. But the thought was that most of the cats that they had pretty much accounted for with regards to kittens. And because I know that's a worry in high season with folks with trapping cats and possible lactating moms and kittens that they didn't know about. And again, the folks at this barn, they spent 30 days really trying to get to know the cats really well.
They were lovely. They knew all the cat sounds. They were looking for kittens ahead of time. And they were fun. I let them help with the release.
Yeah.
So I feel like they all did a lot of work beforehand.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, trying to engage and finding out what their strengths are. Because there are also people that you work with in these situations where they may be like, oh, well, I can't stop feeding them. And so just trying to understand where everybody's strengths and weaknesses are, and then how to bring in the right type of support that you need in a mass trapping effort. It's a beautiful thing when it all works out, and you do need an air traffic control person to sort of help with getting the pieces together, the appointments, the arranging how you communicate with your clinic. Obviously, there's also funding issues if you don't have access to a free spay neuter clinic. The reason we went and drove those cats 2.5 hours or more one way was because that was where the free clinic was in Vermont. It would have been several thousand dollars to get those cats spayed or neutered. And that was money that this location, this barn did not have, this farm. I mean, farmers are struggling. And so we did what was necessary in order to get the job done. People say, well, you can't drive that far. Well, you can. It's been done. It can be done. And so anyways, but it was a great experience. And it was one thing that I think that Kristen, you and I really want to focus on, because that could always be part of front loading. We talk about when we get into a target area and you want to front load your spay neuter. So you get to a specific area. So even if you're in an urban area, it's not a barn, it's not really a specific location, but you could say you think you have 100 cats, you front load it with trying to get 40 or 50, get a really big jump on it, and then maybe do a second round. I mean, ideally, we do want to try and get them all. Mass trapping is where you're getting that one colony 100% spayed or neutered. But then the other part of it is it can be, the tools can be used the same way with regards to front loading with a spay neuter colony. So I think even though we've been around the block for a while, we've still keep learning. And that's what amazes me is we're always learning new things. And I find that incredible.
Love cats and want to make a bigger difference? Then don't miss the online cat conference happening January 25th and 26th. It's a fun and inspiring virtual event where cat lovers, volunteers, animal welfare and veterinary pros, advocates and experts come together to present new ideas and make big things happen for our feline friends. Since this conference is virtual, everyone can participate, no travel or cat sitter required. Register before December 27th to snag your spot, and you'll enjoy the early bird price of just $50. You'll get access to 2 packed days of presentations, tips, and strategies to help cats, and a full year of replays to revisit sessions on your schedule. Save your virtual seat today at communitycatspodcast.com. Let's create a better world for every cat together. That's communitycatspodcast.com. We can't wait to see you there. Want an easy grant opportunity for your animal organization? Maddie's Fund is giving away a $3,000 grant each month to one lucky Maddie's Pet Forum member. You'll automatically be entered to win each month when you start a new discussion, reply to a new post, or upload a new library resource. Learn more at forum.maddiesfund.org today. Attention,
advocates, and animal welfare professionals. Elevate your expertise in 2025 with the Community Cats Pass, your comprehensive passport to over $400 worth of expert-led education and events for just $250. With this pass, you'll gain access to all our major virtual events, including the Online Cat Conference, Online Kitten Conference, Online Behavior Day, our Return to Home Certification Workshop, and many more certification programs like Quality Caretaking Tips and Tricks, and our own TNR Certification Workshop. Whether you're a seasoned expert or just starting out as a feline welfare volunteer, this pass is an investment in your ability to create lasting change for community cats. Visit communitycatspodcast.com/2025pass to secure your Community Cats Pass. That's communitycatspodcast.com/2025pass, because informed advocates save lives. With that being said, we have some new tools coming out. We've launched some of them, but they're really going to be talked about a lot in 2025.
Just going to ask you about that. What tools do we have coming? I know I've been working on some of them in the background, so I know a little bit, but let's tell the listeners about that.
Yeah. So on our sort of theme of doing it yourself, it's really hard to do it yourself if you don't have goals and you don't have an idea of where you're going. And many years ago, I developed the Community Cat Pyramid, which is to hopefully help focus us on, we need a lot of own spay and neuter in your community or to be impactful. And we've got the TNR, but now we're going to have the Community Cat Calculator, and that'll help you be able to identify target goals in your community for spay and neuter for cats that are going to be returned, as well as the owned cats in the community. So if you feel like you don't have enough clinical capacity to have affordable spay and neuter for owned cats, then you also need to be able to advocate for that type of creation, because it's a magical dance that our trap neuter return cats and our owned cats do. And they relate with one another back and forth, because sometimes an owned cat can become a community cat, and sometimes a community cat can become an owned cat, or a TNR cat can become an owned cat. For those of us who all have our ear-tipped kitties, we all know this. So there's migration back and forth from the house to the field, back and forth. And so we use the Community Cat Calculator as a way for us to understand that spay-neuter level that we need in that community. So that is really a big tool that we're going to be promoting a lot in 2025. We also have expanded our educational programs with a Community Cat program management class through the University of the Pacific at the Bernard College. And we launched that course this fall. It's been incredibly successful. We're going to have another class opening up in January. So it's still available to register for. It's 8 modules. It's 8 weeks long. You'll come out with a certificate. And I swear the folks are blowing me away in this class. Everybody is thinking critically, asking incredible questions. It's really an opportunity for folks to problem solve and to help build capacity in their own areas that they're working in based on the environment that they're in. And so that's been an incredible program. It's 8 weeks long. We have different guest speakers. This morning, we had Brian Cordes joining the class, helping, taking some of their questions. And so it's been a lot of fun. So if you are thinking about professionalizing or running an organization, say you want to start a new trap, neuter, return organization, or you're going to be a community cat program manager, it's all about leadership. It's all about how to be successful in your program, how to successfully run it. And it's really, I think it's a great investment. I wish I had a program like this when I was first starting out, for sure.
Definitely. I've gotten a hold of the training modules, so I'm going through it a little bit too, and I'm really enjoying it. And the Community Cat Calculator, we're playing with that this morning, just trying to get the little tweaks and getting it perfect for everybody to play with. So I'm excited for that to launch and for people to be able to start looking at it and give us some feedback on their numbers and what they think, because it's been an interesting process to create that. A lot of math on the back end. And we've had the amazing assistance of Chris Roy over at Dubert and his team to help build that with us. And that's been really fantastic to work with them. So yeah, we got some cool stuff coming. You've got the cat cycling, you got the Community Cat Pyramid, you got the calculator, and all kinds of classes to use them.
Yeah.
And Stacey has been a very busy woman this year.
Well, and so has Kristen, you know, and we continue to be committed to our TNR certification program. And if you have folks that are interested in getting TNR certified, we will be here every month, most months throughout 2025. We'll also have the webinar series. Many of you know Trapper's Tips and Tricks and Colony Caretaking Tips and Tricks. Our partnership with Neighborhood Cats is extremely strong, continues to grow and continues to build. January is going to be very exciting. We have the online cat conference. Will Zweigart's going to be there and he's going to talk about his clinic, Flatbush Vet. So that will be fun. And we're going to have Rosemary Crawford from the National Kitten Coalition will be there. And you know, several others. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks to Maddie. We've got some scholarships offered for that conference too. So be on the lookout for that link if you do need assistance with the scholarship. Surrender Prevention Certification Workshop and Return to Home Certification Workshop. We have three certificates we issue. Please get all three certificates through us. We'll have three sessions during the course of the year for those. Online Kitten Conference, Behavior Day, Feline Leukemia Day, all are going to be happening as usual. And then we're going to have some free sessions too. I will probably do strategies for reducing cat overpopulation again. And we will do a what is your why presentation. My hope is that we all are respectful to one another and we all get along and we all understand that we may not be able to be all things to all people. And so my dream is that as TNR folks, rescue folks, cat loving folks, we're in this mission together and we're focused on how do we move forward as a group.
Yes. Yeah. That's something I think we can credit you with. Back in the day when I first started in rescue, you know, there was a lot of shelters that didn't work together. They'd even badmouth each other just a little bit and you'd hear it and, you know, you'd get this negative feeling about working with other groups and other people. And the point of the whole thing that Stacey really drove home, especially in our area in the Northeast, was that, you know, we all have the same goal. We might have different ways of getting there, but there's some common ground that we can all work with. Even the most difficult personalities, you know, we are working on the same thing. So if you can find that common place and work together, a lot of these projects, TNR, spay neuter, sheltering projects, different things, we all have different resources, different expertise. And if we work together, we'll be able to accomplish way more than if we're talking behind each other's backs and being jerks. So try to control that. That was actually another thing I learned in Arkansas. There was a lot of talk about how to create a culture of caring and collaboration and how to really be conscious of how we interact with our peers. It helps with compassion fatigue issues. If your staff and your volunteers are not at odds, it makes the work environment a lot more pleasant. It's a lot easier to handle some of those difficult situations that come in if you have support of your team. And that has to be worked on. It's not something that just happens naturally most of the time. It's a lot of leadership and a lot of being present and being conscious, which I think is something that is very much in the top of everybody's mind. People are thinking about it. We've seen a lot of seminars on that this year. So nice to see that those things are being talked about for sure.
I have a question for you as the technical tabby and the web mistress of the podcast. You know, if somebody didn't know us from anywhere and they hopped on our website, where would you recommend they go first?
Let's see. It really kind of depends on what your goals are. And I think that what is your why question is very much a good place to start. But if you were just hopping on our website, I think that a lot of the free webinars we hear are incredibly helpful. And I was personally shocked by a lot of the numbers that we get back and feedback about people who are doing TNR on their own. They're not associated with a shelter. They're not doing it for a clinic. Like, nobody taught them how to do it. They just saw cats and they needed to fix the problem. So they're going out and doing that. And a lot of times we're their first contact for that, which I think is an honor. And it's incredible that we get a chance to do that. I think for those people, you know, the webinar series across the board are excellent. If you're a professional, that virtual education tab is also extremely helpful. And we do have some tools in there like paper collars and templates and some different goal setting worksheets, things like that, that can be really helpful for somebody just getting started. But I think listening to the show is a great place to start. I always tell people when people ask me what I do for a living, I'm like, oh, I we're a podcast and I do things with cats. And it's a tough thing to explain. And then inevitably the next question is, where do I find your podcast? I'm like, well, it's kind of a niche thing. I do suggest going through picking the subjects that you're interested in. We have almost 600 episodes at this point in the back catalogs. If you're just starting out, either head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're pretty much everywhere. You can get a podcast. We are on there. But I do find that YouTube is a lot of times easiest for people because most everybody knows how you use YouTube. There's no barrier to entry there. So if you're a little weirded out by the technology, go ahead and get on there. But pick a subject that you're interested in. If you're into TNR, if you're into rescuing, if you're into marketing, there's marketing classes on there, or marketing professionals on there that Stacey has interviewed. It's a very wide swath of information. And it speaks to the fact that, you know, you can have any talent. You can be a lawyer, you can be veterinarian, you can be really good at drawing. There's something for everybody to do in animal welfare, and especially in feline rescue. That's a possibility that you can use your skills to get in there and really get moving on something. So pick the episodes that interest you. And if you want to mainline the whole series, by all means, I highly recommend it because Stacey is a great interviewer. But yeah, pick the episodes that have to do with your subject and get involved. A lot of them will give you a kind of a call to action at the end. They'll explain ways that they got involved that might inspire you. The information that we have in this community is invaluable to go ahead and get into your head too. I always say that when we talk to Brian, I was like, thank you for giving us access to your brain. There's so much in there. And these people are very much doing that. And all of our guests have been very giving in terms of if you need something, get in contact with them, ask them questions. And yeah, start asking questions. You can even hit that contact link on our website anytime. If you found a cat, if you have 50 cats in your yard, like whatever it is, we can usually point you to a direction that's helpful. So yeah, if you're coming on board, pick the thing you're interested in and dive into it, because we're happy to serve you that content and get you that information, because you're only ever going to do better by having it. That's the best thing I would recommend. Just dive in. Virtual education tab, though, my favorite tab.
Yes, and our website is communitycatspodcast.com. So for those of you who haven't checked out our website, I'd ask that you do that. It's www.communitycatspodcast.com. Anything else you want to share with our listeners, Kristen, before we close out today?
Yeah, the do-it-yourself year. It's the year of do-it-yourself. So pick that project that you've been wanting to do and get started with it. Figure out what you need to do to get going and start checking those boxes off, because you've got the skills to do it. You've got the passion to do it. Get out there and just dive in, because you will be shocked by how capable you are of doing just about anything. Any cat you want to rescue, any cat you want to TNR, you can figure it out. We're here to help you next year to really motivate getting that stuff done. So yeah, just a little bit of cheerleading for our audience. I want to see you guys do great things and I want to hear about it. So we're looking forward to 2025 for sure.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening to the Community of Cats podcast today. And especially want to thank you all for turning your passion for cats into action, being there, advocating for each other, helping the cats, helping the families in the community. And we will catch you next week.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.